The TSW Roundtable is a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Follow at SW Commonwealth on Twitter and take your first steps into a larger world.
Hello there.
You want the bad news?
Roger, roger.
The Force. It's calling to you.
This is not going to go the way you think.
Now you will experience the full power of the dark side.
That's not how the Force works.
I need someone to show me my place in all this.
This is madness.
Let the past die. Kill it.
It's a trap!
Fulfill your destiny.
No!
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the TSW Roundtable. Once again, I am your moderator, Robert Cass, and we got a really excellent show lined up for you this month. First, I need to introduce my co-host this evening, the Grand Admiral himself of Talk Star Wars, Mark.
Hello there.
Hello, Mark. This is great.
Hi, how are you?
Great. We pod together all the time, but we usually end up talking about comics.
True. On what's that show we do? What's it called?
TSW Book something. Fair.
TSW's, yeah.
Comics. I don't. Which reminds me, we have a lot to talk about on the next episode, because there has been a whole whack of comics that dropped on us this month.
I need to get reading.
Oh,
I
yes.
Need to get caught up. Yeah.
Lots to cover. Excellent. So, as we do normally on the roundtable, we take hosts from around the Commonwealth, like Mark and myself, and we just talk to VIPs and patrons from the Talk Star Wars. Our first VIP patron that's going to be joining us this evening is American Matthew. You want to say hi to everybody, Matthew?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
How are you?
Hey, Matthew.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. We've had so much Twitter interaction, and it's so awesome. And we've had I had to call you, or I had to message you this morning, because we were a little short on roundtable guests. There's a flu and a cold going around, and it's got me. But I'm just hanging on, it's everywhere. It's actually worldwide. So, but when I messaged you this morning, you were right on top of it and you jumped on. So thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. I had such a blast hearing from you. I was at work and I hid under my desk and I was started to comment with you.
That's awesome. Excellent. So, everyone might have noticed I called you American Matthew. That's not because I'm Canadian and I'm very ignorant. It's because we have Mark's laughing. It's because we have two Matthews on the show. Next, I would like to introduce Australian Matthew. Welcome.
G'day, everyone. How are we doing?
Very good, Matthew.
How are you, mate?
Oh, brilliant. This is my podcast cherry being popped right now. So this is quite exciting. Fun.
Yes. Yeah. We are very tender and gentle. Do not worry.
So it was a Metallion flavored show this evening, Rob, because the other guest was a Matt, right?
Yes. Yeah. We have Matts all over the combo. Matts and Robs. We have a thing with, I'm part of the Robellion. Yeah. They are magnificent.
Robellion. The Rob Public.
Yes, the Rob Public.
Mattalion on the daily. That sounds so hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've just published a Mattalion t-shirt in the store this evening.
Oh, no,
brilliant.
Way.
Yeah.
I have to go and check that out.
It is Metallica themed. It's in the VIP group. Exactly.
That's awesome. Well, in the we just had the Winter Olympics kick off. I know in Australia and the UK you're probably not paying that much attention. I don't see you.
I had a look at it last night. I saw a bit of the opening ceremony and everything. And
oh, nice.
Yeah, we give it a go. We've got about one or maybe two gold medals now, I think.
Oh, there you go. But in the spirit of the Winter Olympics that are upon us, we have myself, I'm Canadian. Mark, of course, you're from the UK. Australian Matthews from Australia and American Matthews from the States. So here we have a real international roundtable. So
wonderful thing, a wonderful thing.
Oh, it's amazing. So if bear with us, ladies and gentlemen, Skype is holding on with I have some post-it notes and some bubble gum. So we're gonna forge forward. And first, I'm gonna ask American Matthew, do you have anything you want to pass around the round table this evening?
Okay, yes. I have a theory I was thinking about. When I first came out of The Last Jedi, and Kylo brings Rey before Snoke, I noticed that it had tons of similarities to The Return of the Jedi. And I thought at first that it was kind of like a kind of a copy, and I didn't really like that. And so I started thinking more about it. And to me, I don't know if this might not work, but if you guys think so, it's almost like a Sith ceremony or a Sith tradition that is carried out through Revenge of the Sith, Return of the Jedi, and The Last Jedi, where it's kind of almost where the Sith decide the rule of two in this sort of a formula where they bring a Jedi or a light force user before the, you know, the Sith Lord and the Sith Apprentice. And in that is where the Sith determine their rank. I know Darth Maul was killed by Obi-Wan in episode one, but I'm pretty sure Dooku is already Palpatine's apprentice. So any change between the two happened in that kind of a formula where Anakin kills Dooku and then becomes Palpatine's apprentice. And in each one, there's always the Sith Lord sitting on his throne, where it'd be Palpatine, he was handcuffed to it in the first one, but in the third one, he's sitting on the same thing. And it all seemed to mirror in each way. So my theory was is that it's kind of like a Sith ceremony or a introduction. Instead of just a copy or a nod, it's kind of almost like a Sith tradition that carries on, and that's how they decide their rule of two. Or it's just some way that they preserve the balance between the Sith. I don't know if that adds anything to it. To me, I like looking at it that way because I think it adds so much more to the scene that it's almost as though it's a carried on, even though Snoke isn't technically a Sith. I was really thinking that that would really kind of ties them all together in a way that the Sith come into it, they bring in a Jedi before them, and they come in knowing that the Sith are about to change in that realm. Because I know when Vader brought Luke before Palpatine, he thought he was going to replace Vader. So anyway, I just thought you guys want to comment on that one.
Yeah, that's excellent. First, I'm going to throw it to Mark. What are your thoughts on?
Well, this has been some that the whole Sith dynamic and the rule of two has been something that's fascinated me for years. And I like where you're coming from, Matthew, that it could be part of their ceremony, that's the way that they determine. It's kind of a power play, but I also think there might be an element of hope there that maybe the rule of two might go away for at least one player in the mix, because otherwise it means someone's going to go, right? And so in that, in Jedi, it could mean that if Palpatine favors Luke, Vader's days are numbered, and if Vader's successful in getting Luke to side with him, then Palpatine's days are numbered. So it's like an unspoken desire that they're going to cast aside the rule of two. And I wonder how open that is, really. The rule of two, the Jedi know about it, but I wonder if in the Sith dynamic, if it's really that clear cut. When Vader and Palpatine have that conversation in Empire, which is my favorite scene in the entire saga, it's not really... Luke's discussed as this new player on the board can make us more powerful. It wasn't sort of outright said one of us is going to go when this kid becomes powerful enough. So it seems to me like the rule of two on the Sith side might be known about, but sort of downplayed because of what the unspoken implications are that you're going to die if I get my hands on this guy. So I like what you're saying. I like the repeating, like the rhyming stanza of that moment where Rey's brought in, and what that implies. But like you say, Snoke's not a Sith, so the same rules don't apply. But there is a rhyme there that's kind of cool. But that's always been my read on it, that the Sith may not really address the rule openly, even though the Jedi do. So
yeah, go ahead, Matthew.
I'm sorry, because even during the Clone Wars, they had Asajj Ventress and Savage Opress and just a lot of other Sith assassins, but they weren't technically part of the rule of two, so they're kind of loose with that.
Yeah, it's like the Inquisitorius, isn't it, that we're seeing in Rebels and we're seeing in the comic books. They are like another tier beneath the top two. They're a tier of lightsaber wielders that aren't quite fully formed Sith yet. They're almost being held back, I suppose, because they represent a threat, right? You don't give them too much power, too much leeway.
Right. Matthew Gilbert, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I was just thinking before, like when I saw the movie as well, I did see the similarities between The Last Jedi and Return of the Jedi, the lightsaber just sitting on the side. And even I was listening to Kevin Smith's podcast, Fat Man or Batman, and they even said, well, Luke could just do this and this, and Mark Goddard just goes, or he could just like use the Force and vroom, and that's it, over. So when that scene happened, I thought of that moment from the podcast. So
yeah.
I was taken out of that scene for just that blip of a second. But when you're talking about the master and apprentice, well, it's always been the desire that the apprentice should one day kill the master. And in that moment, that's when the opportunity presented itself to Kylo, saying, this is actually something that I could do. And at the end of the Praetorian battle scene and everything, he did turn to Rey, and in that moment of saying, we could do this together, but really she would become his apprentice to learn the dark way. So it's still kind of like, you know, the snake eating its own tail in a way. It still kind of ended up being that the apprentice destroys the master. And who knows, if Rey went down the dark side path, it could have been the same thing again, just for Kylo.
Yep, I agree with you 100%. Actually, more to Mark's point, maybe what you're thinking is, this is what I always kind of thought at, the apprentice Sith or dark side user wasn't always completely aware of the rule of two, or thought it was like soft canon, as we say, or soft, you mean? They figure, oh, maybe there's room for three. Or what's more likely is the apprentice that brings in the third party are always, in every situation, are always looking to dethrone the top guy. And you saw that with Kylo and Rey when he dethroned Snoke. And you also saw that with Vader. He wanted nothing more than to have Luke by his side and dethrone the Emperor. So maybe the apprentice bringing in the third party is thinking, hey, if I create some sort of power struggle, you know, maybe we can topple the head guy. American Matthew, what do you think? Is that any sense to that, or?
Yes, I definitely agree. Also, though, it does seem that it's a power play just between the Sith apprentice and the Sith Lord, like with Palpatine and Dooku. I'm not under the impression that Dooku knew that. Wasn't it that he thought they were going to capture Anakin or something like that, and he didn't know that Palpatine was going to off him? So it seems to be just a power play between the Sith in how they have the, obviously Obi-Wan's kind of the odd man out on that one, but it does seem like it's quite the power play between them, especially like Mark was saying, that conversation with Vader and the Emperor in Episode 5 is fantastic. You really see that the Sith are like, how is Luke going to change this dynamic?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it's definitely something going unsaid, isn't it? No one wants to acknowledge what the weakness of that dynamic is, because Palpatine doesn't want to call him out on call it, in Empire. Palpatine doesn't want to call Vader out and say, well, you're trying to dethrone me and take an apprentice. He doesn't want to say that. It's like, well, let's add him into the mix and see what all we can do. So it is like this unspoken, unacknowledged thing, because it's such, at its heart, it's just betrayal, isn't it? It's just full frontal betrayal.
Also, too, between those two scenarios with Kylo and Rey, and then Vader and Luke, the Emperor and Snoke are almost looking, they're looking to see if they can trade up. Because the Emperor, when he got Vader, Vader's literally half the man he used to be, you know, and he's older and he's been defeated a bunch of times. And now he's thinking, wow, look at this. I got his offspring, which is, he's only missing a hand. You mean he's not missing all his limbs and he needs to breathe in a helmet. And also with Snoke, he's looking at Rey going, who's this person? Like, she had zero training. She made it off Starkiller Base and she managed to survive a saber fight with Kylo, like the head of the Knights of Ren. Like,
yeah, she kicked him, didn't she?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm thinking, Australian Matthew, do you think maybe it's just the head guys letting this happen or setting this stuff up so they can kind of see if they want to trade up on their apprentice?
I think with a lot of Sith, it's just a matter of opportunity presenting itself. Like,
yeah,
Palpatine, he was definitely one who plotted out an entire series of events to get into where he is, but a lot of Sith often take opportunity when they see it, and they just it's theirs for the taking. So it depends on how forward thinking a Sith is as well, I guess. So like Darth Bane, he was the one who really, well, it's Legends now, I guess, but he was the one who kind of fully reinstated the power of two. There should only be two dark side users. And I admit, when I first saw Phantom Menace and they mentioned the there's always two, Master and Apprentice, I thought it was only like Master and Apprentice, but there were like thousands of them in the galaxy kind of thing. So, But yeah, I think it's just, they're just so opportunistic that they'll twist and corrupt minds even for their own gains. And if they see an opportunity to take like an upgrade, as you say, I mean, think of the maintenance bills to keep Vader alive even. Surely that's not cheap. Yeah, like why wouldn't you try and take Luke if you think someone's going to be more powerful and useful to you and younger as well? They could, you know, live a lot longer than Vader might.
Yeah, absolutely. Why wouldn't you? American Matthew, you were going to mention something there?
I was just going to add to Matthew's point that the Sith are very big on their opportunity because the Palpatine killed Plagueis in his sleep, didn't he? So it was kind of more of an opportunity, not so much that they had that get together with the Jedi as well. So it's more on it's at the core, the Sith just want power and they'll take it from whoever they want it from, whether they think a Jedi is more powerful or their master's old or their apprentice is weak. And they just want to accumulate the most power that they could possibly have.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially because you're talking about Legends, and we know we discussed Bane and Plagueis, and even when Plagueis defeated his master, it was a spur-of-the-moment thing. I remember reading in Legends that they were part of an avalanche, and because his master was distracted temporarily trying to save them from an avalanche in this mine, that he was distracted long enough, and Plagueis jumped on the fact going, oh, he's not reading my mind, he doesn't see this coming, and then he went ahead and killed his master. And it's kind of a theme that runs through. It's almost like they're very, like you said, they're very opportunistic when it comes to taking their shot. The same thing with Kylo. He's like, oh, he thinks I'm thinking this. Oh, I've got him. Like, there's no way he could have planned that to have, you know, Snoke take the saber, put it exactly where he needed it. Like, it's not like he put it in a cabinet, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, it had to be opportunity. I need to point out that Bane is canon.
Oh yes,
I know. Because we'll get phone calls. It's
please correct that.
He was recanonized in Clone Wars, played by Mark Hamill.
Yes, he is. Oh, he is canon, and also too, Plagueis is canon.
Yeah,
because of his, they mentioned him. The story of Darth Plagueis, the tragedy of Darth Plagueis. So
yes,
but I'm just referring to the actual Plagueis novel. And, of course, the Bane novels, where Bane literally wiped out all of the Sith and then took on Apprentice. Yep.
And a lot of Jedi, too.
Oh, yeah. He let off, what do they call it, a holocron, like a Sith bomb?
Yeah.
It's great. I know it's
legend. He, again, manipulated another Sith to do it as well, so.
Yeah. I know it's not canon, but if you can get the, I think it's, what is it, who's the author, Drew? I'll look it up. But I should know this off the top of my head. But check it out. The Bane trilogy is really, really awesome, and it's I know it's Legends and it's not canon anymore, but it's still worth a read.
I've only read the first book, and yeah, it is brilliant.
Oh wait, it stays the course.
Cool.
Right through. So awesome. So American Matthew, we kind of answered your question or hashed it out.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you. This is awesome. So I'm going to throw it to Australian Matthew. Do you have anything you want to pass around the roundtable?
Yeah, it was just about the Super Bowl trailers. And we were talking about what it could be and all that kind of stuff leading up to it. And, you know, especially you, Mark, you were saying how they must have so much faith in it to go up against the Super Bowl ads for Infinity War, Black Panther, Mission Impossible and so on. But I reckon it was just so incredibly smart to release the minor teaser trailer in all of that just to say, hey, we're still here. You can look at us and, you know, ring your memory. Also, tomorrow, here's the big full trailer, and they have a whole day to themselves. It kind of, it doesn't wipe out what happened at the Super Bowl, of course, for the ads, but it does hold a full day for themselves where people can just go nuts over this full trailer. Has anyone, like, do you guys remember seeing that happen before where they release a teaser and then the full one like the day after for Super Bowl or anything like that? Because I reckon it's brilliant for the advertising team or marketing
team. I don't recall this being done before. No, there's been a lot of teases that have been well and truly anticipated. There was a Transformers one year, wasn't there, that everyone was looking forward to that was in the Super Bowl. But no, I don't remember this being done. I think it's really smart, really smart. And it just goes even more, to my mind, even more it proves that point that they are so confident in Solo that they can throw away 45 seconds like that and still have it float to the top of all that stuff that night.
I think it's very opportunistic. Mark, you guys discussed this at length. They didn't want to trample the Last Jedi theater run. And, of course, it's been said that there's a lot of, like, just regular Star Wars people that like Star Wars and aren't hardcore Star Wars fans that might get confused. But, like, wait a second, there's a movie in the theater, and now there's this trailer for what now? And is that Star Wars? Is this Star Wars? So they cut out that confusion. I know The Last Jedi has left most of the theaters where I am. I think I can drive into Toronto and pick it up on some little low rent theater if I still want to see it on a big screen. But but now it's gone and it's completely run its course. But also too, we've never had a Star Wars movie come out, what, 6 months after the previous one?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is unprecedented. So they didn't want to trample on The Last Jedi, and now they really want to promote this Solo. And you know what? Super Bowl ads are pretty expensive. I know Disney has all the money in the world, but they only needed 45 seconds. You know, that's all they needed. They didn't need to spend their wad and like Tide did, trying to, cover up whatever's been happening with the Tide company lately with these challenges. So they didn't need this huge big thing. So I think it was brilliant. And also too, we've never had an opportunity where, yes, they had the teaser trailer, but they better get a real trailer out right away because we're 4 months away from this thing. American Matthew, what do you think?
I agree. I think the fact that 45 seconds of teaser trailer just stole the Super Bowl show. After the day after the Super Bowl, I went on Twitter and the one trailer everyone was talking about was Solo. And I know there was an Infinity War trailer, but I must have watched the Solo trailer like five or six times. And it's just it really shows you the name that Star Wars has, that they can just say, this is Star Wars, come and have a good time, you'll enjoy it, and you just, go to a galaxy far, far away. And it just really kind of that amazing, amazing culture that pop culture that Star Wars has, that even though it's not Harrison Ford playing Solo, it's that feel. And it did feel very Rogue One, which is fantastic. I love Rogue One. So I'm excited. It looks fantastic. So I think the fact that it was the teaser, and that's all it needed, and it was up there with all the other trailers, and that's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. Matthew, Australian Matthew, what is that? What you were thinking of with the? I'm not sure how well received the Super Bowl is in Australia. Like, do you guys?
It depends on, like, if you're into it, you're into it kind of thing. Right. Like, I know a bunch of mates who are like avoiding, Super Bowl spoilers the whole day and trying to get home and stuff. But
right.
It's getting more and more popular here because it's just something exciting to get involved with as well, I guess. So also a lot of people getting on a bandwagon, I guess, but you know.
Yeah, of course. No, it's one of those things. It's just that's like I know here in Canada, we don't not a lot of us watch soccer or football, as you say, but until the World Cup rolls around. And even then, our team hasn't qualified since like the mid-80s. So, especially in the Toronto area, where everybody's from somewhere, everybody's an immigrant from somewhere. So it's you'll see the whole entire world represented on flags hanging off of cars. So you know where everybody's grandparents live. Come World Cup time.
We get that here as well, man.
Yes. Yeah. It's strange because everybody's like, I'll be watching and be like, oh, you're from Italy. No, my family's from Italy. I'm like, Well, you have you ever been? No. Oh, they're your team. Oh, well, okay, sure. But I understand with having these things, like you said, like I said, the Super Bowl, it's in Australia. Obviously, I mean, they're, you know, there's no Sydney Raiders or there's no Australian football team, but it's still becoming a global thing. And I know in North America, and I know American Math, you can back me up on this. The Super Bowl is the be all and end all. That is the it's a huge event, especially in the States, and it's the perfect spot. And like I said earlier, 45 seconds was all you needed for this thing, and it was
a beautiful 45 seconds.
Absolutely. It was. I was going to ask Mark, what were your thoughts on, now that you've seen the whole trailer and we've gotten other snippets, what were your thoughts on the 45 seconds they used? Like
I loved it.
Yeah,
I loved it. I think I did a breakdown on the Daily podcast the next day.
Yeah.
Because obviously being in the UK, I didn't see it when everyone else did. I woke up about 1:30 in the morning and checked my phone. I saw Tim commenting on it, Tim Trax. And I thought, all right, okay, this sounds good about the tone and how surprised he was about the tone, how much like Empire it was. I believe that was Tim's tweet. So I thought, well, I'll make a beeline for it in the morning. So I watched it first thing, got a few thoughts together, and then covered it on the Daily. And I thought it was fantastic, really well judged. I think it's kind of given us our Lemoo sequence, like the pre-credit sequence that we're going to get, with young Han going to sign up with the Empire. So I think we've gotten a little bit of a glimpse at some of that stuff. I thought it was really well judged. It was just enough to sort of tease that thing. And the sting at the end saying full trailer tomorrow was just inspired. And not showing too much of Alden as Han as well was a good idea, I think, with the just that little hero shot at the end that was very Peter Quill, very Guardians of the Galaxy. I thought it was... did the tone justice, really? Yeah, good.
I know when you mentioned that on the Daily, when you said, as soon as you said Peter Quill, because I was looking at it going, "What is this? What is it?" And the second you mentioned that, I thought, "Oh, it's perfect. It's exactly what they want." Especially with the success of that franchise, you want that swashbuckling character that may flip you the bird, but it's Disney, so it's okay because it's just a gesture. You mean it's and what do you think of? I don't know if it was from the teaser or if it was from the actual trailer, where you see Emilia Clarke marching off that ship, and it looks like she has that Phasma strut.
Yes.
With the cable. Yeah. You know, it's fantastic. I'm like, okay, I'm sold. I'm
cape.
I was buying I was buying a ticket either way, but it was just, it's, I think 99% of the fandom were very relieved. I know, Mark, we're part of a Twitter message group for the Star Wars Commonwealth, and it's all the hosts from all around the Star Wars Commonwealth. It's a private group, thankfully, sometimes. You know, and it's basically
insider.
Yeah, exactly. It's where we discuss Commonwealth business or anything that comes up, or and also too sharing. It literally blew up, and I know the crew from the Skyhoppers, they were nervous, especially Ash being a huge Solo fan, going, do I want this? Do I really want this? And then immediately going, okay, so she's good. Everybody's in and everybody's on board. So what we're going to do next is we're going to take a short pause. We're going to hear about our the VIP patron program. And we'll be back with more of the roundtable.
If you'd like to support what we do here at Talk Star Wars, then head to patreon.com/TalkStarWars and become a patron. Your support will help us as we expand our programming to include further shows. And in return, you'll get access to an exclusive VIP Facebook group, a monthly prize draw, weekly Facebook Live sessions, priority release podcasts, an exclusive daily podcast, and a whole lot more. Head to patreon.com/TalkStarWars today and become a TSW patron.
And we're back. So there you go. There's all the details to join the VIP TS Talk Star Wars TSW patron program. So we just had some huge news this week. Aside from the Solo trailer and all these other things that are coming out, and we have Rebels coming out here in a few weeks here, at least in North America we do. Because for some reason, I don't know why, in this age of technology, it's 2 weeks behind for the UK, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ridiculous.
So, please, Disney, fix that. We'd love to talk about these shows, except we have to keep buttoned up and wait for our UK friends to see it before we can talk about it. And by the time we get to talk about it, it's passed. So
that's old news then.
But we've had aside from the Rian Johnson trilogy coming out, we've had the D&D. What were their names, Mark?
David Benioff and D.B. Wise.
Yeah, they do the Game of Thrones TV series. Obviously, they reworked the novels and do the screenplays from George R.R. Martin.
Yeah. Yeah, they're the exec producers on that show, I believe.
Yeah, so they take care of all that stuff, but they've signed on to do they never used the word trilogy, but they said a series of movies with Lucasfilm. I'm saying that correctly. So I'm going to throw it to American Matthew. What do you think about all this? Like this Game of Thrones isn't your typical television show. HBO, very edgy. A lot of times they use a very hard R. I don't know if they'll go that way with the Star Wars stuff, but what do you think about these two guys being showrunners for a new series of Star Wars movies?
I think it's fantastic. I actually personally don't watch Game of Thrones. It's something I never got into, and now it's on season 7, so I'd have to do a lot of, back work to get to where everybody is now, but I would be totally in for a Knights of the Old Republic and just to really dive into that. It's just, especially before the Rule of Two was established, I'd love to see just dozens of Sith and Jedi just knock it out. I'd also like to see the Mandalorians included in some form of Star Wars in a greater way. I just think the Mandalorians are kind of something I personally enjoy. I really like the armor. Fantastic. So, I mean, I would love to see them dive into that. I'd also like to see the force projection that we saw. I'd love to see that incorporated into the older, Knights of the Old Republic. I think that would be such a nice tie-in to see Luke being able to do something that these grandmasters did back in the day.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm 100% on with you. Australian Matthew, what do you think? Have you watched Game of Thrones yourself?
Oh, yeah, I'm right into Game of Thrones. Like, we've gone through the books, so I'm one of those people who just desperately wants the other books to be released to see what George, how he would have tied up all the bits and pieces. But I absolutely agree. I'd love to see the Old Republic. Like, that's what I was maybe hoping Rian Johnson would do. But the fact that they got these two guys from Game of Thrones and the Old Republic being that kind of medieval kind of vibe to it, like the armor's different, there's proper plating and capes and all that kind of stuff. Like, it just seems perfect for them to get, stick their teeth into. But I want to ask American Matt, do you reckon they'd go for the Revan-style Old Republic or the MMO RPG, like, even well before that?
I actually don't know a whole lot about the Old Republic. I know there was a video game, and I've just very briefly touched on, the major Sith in the area, but never really dived too deep into it, so I don't really know too much about that.
Yeah, and even what you were saying before about the force projection stuff, it'd be really cool to see, just to give those two guys full slate that they can use any sort of powers they want. They can mix and mash and, use force choke and force lightning in the same move and stuff like that, because, all this stuff, because of all the wars and things like that, there'd be a lot of lost knowledge out there. So
for sure, it'd
be really awesome to see stuff we wouldn't even think about just being used to, bring a cup to your hand and stuff like that. Like, the Force wasn't some different thing back then. It was just, I'd love to see more Force powers and saber abilities and all that kind of stuff. I reckon they could just go nuts for that field, but definitely the Old Republic, that's where I'd love to see it go.
I'd also like to see the dark side kind of pervert the Force projection in a way that it, instead of using it to, how Luke used it to save people, they would use it to trick people or in a way terrify them. Or maybe they could force project something that is a past loved one or something like that, and really just kind of use the Force in a darker way and just kind of pervert it in a way that obviously the dark side usually does with force choking, stuff like that. Also, I'd like to see I'd like to see just the immense power behind the Force, like you said, forgotten knowledge. And I would love to see, I would love, because for me, it seemed like the Jedi, everything they didn't agree with, they classified as dark side, especially during the time of the Clone Wars and stuff like that. They shunned away from a lot of the use of the Force. And so just to kind of see the Jedi before the legal kind of legalism that they implied to it, just to kind of see them open up to the Force, much like kind of like Qui-Gon or Luke, you know, obviously in A Last Jedi, just kind of see them use the Force in its natural way, which I'm hoping we get to see Rey use too, kind of more of a Qui-Gon approach instead of a, you know, a legal Jedi system, high tower temple kind of deal.
Yeah, I completely, I love those points. Guys, Mark, do you know anything that's hard and fast, what they are covering? Or is this all just speculation?
It's the hard and fast of it all is Bob Iger, really. We've had the press release from Lucasfilm saying that David Benioff and D.B. Weiss are going to be they're going to be producing and writing a series of feature films, movies, set aside from the Skywalker saga, and it's going to be distinct from Ryan's trilogy of films. So there's definitely, they're setting their stall out that this isn't a trilogy. This could be ongoing indefinitely. And we know that Bob Iger has revealed that he had spoken to those two creators about working on a TV show, and they didn't want to work on a TV show. They had a very specific idea about movies, series of movies, and set in a very particular time, which is where we've all drawn the conclusion now that it's going to be the old Knights of the Old Republic. And it seems very clear that that's what it is, but there's no hard and fast reveal. Bob Iger said in the quarterly earnings call that he hoped they'd be able to bring us more information soon. But I think it's worth pointing out, and this is kind of speculative on my part, at no point did they say theatrical releases.
Right.
And Nathan Roberts mentioned to me last week in the Facebook group that had I considered the possibility of them releasing feature-length movies directly onto the streaming service, because that would certainly pull people to the streaming service. And the minute he said that, a bunch of things clicked into place, and I thought, this is a fantastic idea, because you don't have the crowded now. I think this, with this experience going into Solo straight off the back of Last Jedi, it feels crowded to me. There's a lot of confusion. There's the potential for a lot of confusion with the casual audience. But if they drop a theatrical release Star Wars movie at Christmas once a year, and in the middle of the year they do an event release of one of these Benioff and Weiss films, one of the D&D movies, on the streaming service, it gives people plenty of time to access it. It can access it when they want. There's no confusion because it's on a different platform. It's not like, but didn't I just see this? No, this is new. This is different. You have to be plugged into that service to get it. So there's not a lot that's hard and fast at the moment, but there's a lot of, I think, really well-rounded, well-thought-out theories about what this is. And it seems to be quite clear to me that we're going to get a series of Knights of the Old Republic movies heading for the Disney streaming service.
What I enjoy about this, or especially saying a series of movies or no trilogy, it could almost work like Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm not a huge fan of that franchise, but they did their three, and then they're like, oh, we got room for four. So they can put out four, and nobody's expecting 4, 5, 6. You mean 7, 8, 9. Like, nobody, like, you're not expecting, like, the saga. If you release Star Wars 10, you better have 11, 12 in the bank, or people are going to be raising eyebrows. Like, or they better be planned. Like, so yes. Here, if they're successful, they can get away with, oh, here's my, here's our movie. Here's two movies. Oh, you know what? Maybe we got room for two more, maybe three more, but not, it doesn't have to be, here's our trilogy. We got to wrap it up. Or if they realize, I know with a lot of, I know even television shows like Game of Thrones, where they're coming from, there's a lot of characters. If they had their own network where they could just stream these things, they could go off and tell a billion different stories. And it might not take another, like I said, three movies or another how many episodes or maybe a season of this, a season of that. It just sounds like the reins aren't going to be so tight. It's going to be more tell the story you want to tell. You know, if it takes two movies, awesome. If it takes four, go right ahead. Like, I like that where it's not so hard and fast. This is Star Wars. You better have three. And if successful, you better get three more coming.
Yeah, the other nice thing as well is if you're not telling the Anakin story, you're not telling the Luke story, if you're telling a story about a period of time, you can hand the story off from one character to the next. And it frees you up a lot because for us then, we're going to be watching it thinking anyone can go at any given time. And if you look at Game of Thrones, I'm not a fan of Game of Thrones. I haven't really invested the time in it, but from what I understand, major characters drop like flies in that series, right?
Yeah, so, don't be attached to anybody.
No, so that's no. Isn't that something that's missing from modern storytelling now? If you put a big name star into a key role in a project, chances are they're going to make it out of the third act. And now we want to be able to take that away so that, you know, it's like Harrison said about Return of the Jedi, let's kill Han and add some weight to this thing.
Yeah.
If you've got a series where you can, the story can jump from one crew of people to the next, then all bets are off. It's going to be tense, isn't it, to watch?
Oh, it'd be fantastic. Yeah, so that this is great. I'm looking forward to it. I can't, it's just more Star Wars for us. And like the success of Game of Thrones, and I'm a fan of the Game of Thrones television series, and I can't wait till they come out with the final season. So this is actually now I get to look forward to the final season of Game of Thrones, and I can't wait till these boys wrap this up so they can get started on more Star Wars stuff for me.
So exactly. Because they said they're not going to get started until Game of Thrones is fully wrapped.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so. They can't. I don't think they can do that.
No.
Nah, it's too much on their plate, which is fair enough.
Yeah.
Too many franchises.
Now, with the David and Dan, do you think they'll take like a DC Marvel approach and have some like individual stories? So like say you focus on this Jedi in this one and then a Sith in this movie and then in a collection movie, bring them all together and kind of have like a battle. So have like four separate movies.
What an idea.
And love it. Just kind of bring them together. I would love
what
that.
What a fantastic idea. Yeah. Because you could have... You can definitely tell those individual stories where everybody starts to sense something happening. You have a Sith Lord where Thanos is in the MCU, and then the Sith Lord slowly rising to power, and this group of Jedi need to come together to work out what it is. That's a great idea. Yeah. Well done, Matthew. That's a superb idea.
Thank you, Jedi Justice League. Sorry, I have to go with Justice League. I know this isn't the nerd room. We don't have to go with Avengers every time.
I'm with Justice League.
There you go. I got another one of my. I'm just poking fun. We love the nerd room, and we are very fond of Marvel.
Definitely.
Yeah,
better not die in
Infinity War. Excellent. Okay, so I just actually, you know, I wanted to bring one thing to the roundtable. Now that we wrapped up, we got the solar trailer. We have the new series of movies coming out. Now, there's been talk of, with their streaming service, there was talk of a television series now coming, possibly. Mm-hmm. Rumors, it's still in the works. We don't know when the streaming service is going to arrive or what we're going to get. Is it Disney? Are we going to get everything, like all the Marvel and everything that's under Disney's umbrella? So this is what I was thinking. Say if you had a Star Wars series and you have the new Star Trek series is out, Star Trek Discovery. But how about you have a running theme, like, so it's not episodic, so you have a through line, so you have like 13 episodes, but you can put different directors in for different episodes. Like, I know the Star Trek one had Jonathan Frakes come back. He's known as Commander Riker. He's directed a bunch of Star Wars stuff. He's directed a First Contact for Star Trek, which was probably one of the best movies out of the whole 12 they have or 13 they have. Mark, what do you think of, you know, like maybe episode 3, Dave Filoni comes in and directs one because it touches on one of the characters that he had influence on. And maybe in episode 4, you had another, you can intersperse a lot of, I know there's a lot of talk about getting a lot of female directors on board.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can have somebody as a showrunner, or anybody who's going to be the showrunner, but now you can pull from anywhere. Like what if you had Jonathan Frakes come in and direct an episode of Star Wars?
I think it's a great idea. I think it's a fantastic idea. And I think there's a lot of the I looked to Star Trek, actually, Rob, when we started talking about this live action series, and the name Reed Morano has been attached to something, having met with Kathy Kennedy. And she, I know, is a producer and director on The Handmaid's Tale, and she's really hot property at the moment. She's been loosely attached to this live action series, mostly by people like us talking about it online. And then you've got in Star Trek, you've got this long, proud history of cast members that managed to graduate up into directorial roles, like Roxana Biggs Dawson on Voyager. She's now one of the players in the field of directing on television. She started a career, that side of her career, on Star Trek. So why couldn't something like that exist at Disney on Star Wars, where you kick this thing off, you have one person overseeing the whole thing, because, you know, I've said this untold amounts of times now, we need that singular vision. In that singular, I think that's what Ryan is, and that's what the boys, Benioff and Weiss, that's what their responsibility is going to be in their respective fields. And so I think that on the TV side, you're going to need one person overseeing that, and then you can roll in as many jobbing directors as you like. So why couldn't it be that Reed Morano kicks the whole thing off, but then you get Rian Johnson come in and do a film?
Yeah,
do an episode, excuse me, on of the TV show. Why not?
Yeah, absolutely.
Gareth Edwards.
Fantastic, because I was thinking, like, same thing with the Star Trek. They had Nicholas Meyer came in. He directed Wrath of Khan, and yeah, he came in and directed episode one of Star Trek Discovery, this new series. Like, it just feels like it's. I think it'd be great. Australian Matthew, what do you think about having directors by committee for a new Star Wars series? Like,
love it. Absolutely love it, especially with Reed Morano. I haven't seen The Handmaiden's Tale, but my fiance, she absolutely loves it, and anyone who's seen it really, really enjoys the show. And if you have her as the head honcho, the single mind, and of course, like, all writers and stuff contributing and giving out to various directors, like Gareth Edwards, I'd love to see an episode directed by him. But I reckon if you really wanted people to get in on this, like, especially Star Wars fans are a bit like, oh, yeah, I'm not sure if I'll go for the Disney Channel or not. Get George Lucas to direct the first episode, and that will bring in, like, an extra $5 million alone or whatever it is. Like, they'll have a ton of people coming onto their channel anyway, just because of, you know, all the Disney movies from the back catalogs to now. They'll eventually have Daredevil, Jessica Jones, all those series as well. I mean, and if you have George Lucas come back and direct an episode, like, I don't know if they're going to be like hour-long episodes, half-hour, 45, whatever, but I reckon that would be a sweet song to sing for your very first episode for a brand new series. In terms of where it could go, though, no one has any idea. Like, we were talking about, like, the Old Republic before. I'd love to see a series on it, like, sort of House of Cards, like, espionage-y, Game of Thrones, dodgy, and I don't know. Like, I'm up for that adult kind of edge. Maybe not as hard as Game of Thrones, but, you know, something with a bit more bleakness to it. Like, it doesn't have to always be the hero wins at the end of the day, like, because that's not part of life, and that's what kind of The Empire Strikes Back was like. You finish that with, like, so many, like, you know, we've lost Han, Luke's lost a hand, you know, the Empire is still as strong as ever. It was just a struggle, that whole movie. So I don't know.
American
Matthew?
It doesn't even have to be about a hero. You could do, like, a Boba Fett Punisher type deal and just have Boba Fett just go guns a-blazing and take people out, you know? And it doesn't, you know, that, because you can get that raw kind of that feel that Boba Fett, especially for working for the Hutts, I can imagine you can definitely come across some pretty shady people. And you can always have it where the guys Boba Fett takes out are worse than him. So if you want to give it a kind of like an anti-hero kind of vibe.
Anti-hero, yeah.
Because I would actually like to see a Boba Fett series or a TV show that takes place. I don't know if it's still canon, if he escapes from the Sarlacc pit, but I'd love to see it, like, after he got out. Because I, you know, I'm a huge fan of Boba Fett, and he, in my mind, he's always survived.
Yeah, well, it's, George did as well, so it's G level canon. That's George's take on it, that Boba survived.
And I think Robot Chicken covered some of him in the actual Sarlacc pit, which is really.
Of course I did.
Is that sea level canon?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, actually,
chicken level.
I know Mark can speak to this, but Australian Matthew, like you were saying, with how Empire Strikes Back ended. I know Mark and I are of an age where we were actually there, where that was, we had Star Wars, and then we had Star Wars 2, The Empire Strikes Back, and this is how it ended. This was a first for everything, it worked. Like, I know in hindsight, everybody says, oh, Empire is the best movie, but at the time, it was divisive, but at the same time, it hooked people. It really, it was a bold move to end on such a downer, but I think if they can use that example with the TV series, like, Mark, you were there when it came out and it was released, and we walked out of the theater going, wait, what now?
Yeah, endless conversations, debates. It's no wonder that I do this now, because this is what I was doing when I was a kid.
In the schoolyard,
And what was I at the time? Mm-hmm. I was 8, maybe 9 years old. And so at the time, that's all we were talking about. No, he's lying. You know, that's the thing. And this is what George did beautifully. He'd spoken to a bunch of psychologists. I don't know if you're aware of this. It's pretty common element of Star Wars lore. George was concerned that children would be disturbed by the concept of Vader being Luke's father.
Right.
And he spoke to an old bank of psychologists and said, how do you think this will play out? Do you think this will upset the kids? Do you think it will disturb the kids? And they said that there's a section of the audience that will just say, that will just accept it. A section of children will just say, well, fair enough, he's telling the truth. And the ones that can't handle it will just say, no, he's lying. And I fell into that camp. So when I was a kid, I was like, no, he's lying. Now, this is clearly not possible. So by the time it was revealed in Return of the Jedi, I got hit by that thing twice.
Yeah.
So it was perfectly judged by George, that sort of reveal. And that tone, leaving that hanging in the air like that, we see it all the time now, don't we? Every TV series ends, every TV season ends with one of these moments now. Maybe nothing will ever be quite so heavy as Empire Strikes Back, but that's de rigueur now.
And also, too, we didn't have the internet, and of course, we were children, but we were kids, in the, like you said, in the schoolyard, but we didn't know that Harrison Ford was thinking about not coming back for the third movie. Mm. We didn't know any. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have, barely had a telephone. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it wasn't that bad in the 80s, but, you know, we were...
Smoke signals. We were communicating with smoke signals, Rob.
Yes, exactly. And we had to smoke a lot if I wanted to speak to Mark in the UK. We had to make those signals really big.
It's funny that you said that people would either accept it or they'd say he's lying, because that's kind of what people are doing with Kylo now. They're like, well, okay, Ray's parents are nobody, or oh, he's lying.
Exactly.
That one, numerous times, people are like, nope, he's lying.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Luke said that as well. That's not true. It's impossible.
Ray kind of accepted it, though.
Yeah,
it's her truth. I think that might be where Kylo's getting it from. Because Snoke's connected their minds as well, but when he probed her mind in The Force Awakens, he saw the island and he saw all that stuff through Rey. So maybe he just told her what she already knew, and that's where he got it from. He got it from her. I think that's what her vision was in the cave as well. I think that was her sort of digging deep and realizing, I am all I've got.
Absolutely. Well, there you go, guys. Here we are. We're just coming to an end of another TSW roundtable. Again, we've barely scratched the surface because we've got an avalanche of news, especially with the Solo trailer and the new series of movies coming out from the Game of Thrones guys. And then there was a lot of director talk with Kathleen Kennedy and everybody she's talking to and all these other stuff and the streaming service and the TV shows. But fear not. I know there's a there's another podcast that comes out, I know, every Monday morning. TSW Talk Star Wars. They go incredibly in depth, so they will fulfill all your Star Wars needs. And if you're listening to this show, odds are you've probably heard that one before. So I'm going to go quickly around the table, and I'm going to ask the Matthews. I'll go to American Matthew first. If you got anything going on, or if you got anything you want to just give a shout out to, or where they can. People can find you if they want to reach out to you, like on Twitter or Facebook or anything like that. So, American Matthew, where can people find you?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at Salvatore_Chief. And you can also go check out my YouTube videos. I have a lot of Lego stop motion animation up there. You can just type Matt Salvatore. And if you can't find it, because I know it's not the first one that comes up, you can just at me at Twitter and I'll send you a link. I got a whole lot of videos, a lot of the famous lightsaber battles up there. So give that a like and tell me what you think about them.
Yeah, they are
very good.
Yeah, they're fantastic. I was able to see a couple there this week. So Australian Matthew, do you got anywhere where people can find you if they want to reach out down under? That's okay. Sounded
just
poor.
In my Instagram. Oh my. Really, Gilbo-licious. It's exactly how it said sounds.
Gilbo-licious.
And also, of course, in the Patreon Facebook group. So sign up to Patreon, and you can find me in there.
Perfect.
Well done.
Well Thank said. You, and Mark, just for the sake, we make it around the table. Where can everybody find you offline or online?
Nowhere.
Offline at my house. Online. I'm at Talk Star Wars on Twitter, and you can find everything else I do at talkstarwars.co.uk.
And you can find myself. I am on Twitter at RobertMMCast, and you can find me there, or you can find me hanging around the Facebook group with the VIPs, the patrons for Talk Star Wars as well. I'm always in there. And, of course, do not forget, we are getting into the Talk Star Wars retrospective roundtable, where I'm taking various hosts from around the Commonwealth and VIPs from Talk Star Wars, and we're going movie by movie. And this was planned to fill some gaps between the release of Solo and Episode 9, but we were worried we weren't going to have anything to talk about for about a year, but apparently that's changed. But we're forging ahead. So we've already Phantom Menace. It's already recorded and it's already in the bank there. So look forward. We're taking them one by one, and we're going through the Star Wars retrospective. And again, I have to mention, we did steal the retrospective idea from the Nerd Room. Thank you, Tim. They're doing an awesome job.
It's their own fault. They didn't defend it vigorously enough.
No, and they're doing an they did an awesome job. They did a complete Marvel movie retrospective leading up to Infinity War that's coming out in April, and it was a fantastic idea. And like Mark likes to say, we like to steal from the best. So there you go. So until next time, we will see you around the roundtable.